It is good to be in the house of the Lord today.
Amen.
And beautiful sunshine. Those poor folks over on the East Coast are not enjoying what we're getting. Fall's just around the corner. Got a lot coming up, not in the near future. I'll get to that in just a second. We have a letter here from Sharon Missionary Baptist Church. They are having a deacon ordination service September the 30th at 2 p.m. The congregation and the ordained deacons and pastors are invited, signed by Brother Michael Reese, their pastor. So if you can attend and help them in that, put that on your calendar.
Is that in Benton?
Yes, sir. The address, if you need it, I'll give it to you. Okay. I did clean my glasses off this morning, so. All right, announcements this morning. Special offering for Brother Walter. As we know, we've been taking up a special offering for him and his family, trying to help in their medical expenses. You know how that goes if you've been through it. They come around three or four times a week, seems like. So, also, he needs your prayers as well. Also, I did give Greg the special offering that we gave. He said to tell the church that they appreciate it very much and your prayers. So keep that in mind. That takes care of a lot of the Wednesday night stuff. The 30th also of September is our singing and fellowship, so we'll have morning services then that night. As usual, then that night we will have singing and fellowship, finger food, whatever you want to bring. We'll eat it, won't we, Rosie? Okay, excuse me. This morning, nursery is Michelle, neighbors Holly Graves. Next Sunday is Georgia and Mandy. Any other announcements? Now, there'll be some more stuff coming up. We decided on our fall festival and stuff. It'll be in the bulletin as we move forward a little bit, so that's all coming up, so keep that in mind. It's fixing to get busy. So enjoy the slack time. That big word was right there on the tip of my tongue. It wouldn't come off. Okay. If you're visiting with us this morning, we're just tickled to death to have you. Saw Mickey come in. Love you, dear. Good to see you. I could tell you some stories about her, but then she could return the favor, so I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Any other announcements? Well, I can say that, Dana. She's been my friend for years. okay.
Page number 38. Page 38.
Solid rock, I'm standing at a
everybody out this morning. I can't think of a better place to be than right here.
Amen.
We're going to sing a song for you. We've done several times before, but with a kind of a new twist. We finally got to have a choir rehearsal last Sunday afternoon. And oh, by the way, we're going to do that again this afternoon. But we're going to start a little earlier today. We're going to start at 5. We need to practice. We had a blast. We had a good time. I decided one of two things. We're either going to close the session or we're going to start charging admission. But we had a wonderful time in the Lord and got a little bit of work done. We mostly laughed and had a good time. And that's, to me, that's worth more than the practice time, actually. We just had a good time in the Lord. We'd love to have more choir members. We have more chairs back there we could put up here. I wouldn't mind if putting me off out here somewhere. If you have any desire at all to take a place in our choir, we would love to have you. If you can't sing, that's all right. Joyce and Sandy and Donna have all volunteered to sing a little louder to cover you up. We'll be good.
Trust me, you don't have to be a good singer.
Trust me.
It's an old song entitled Coming with a little different twist. I hope you enjoy it.
Oh, baby.
Well, I was going to say this a while ago, I forgot, I'll say it now. Pat, it's good to see your pew full. Amen. Good to have y'all here. Okay, this is the fifth of a series of love, sex, and marriage. If you've missed any of them, you can go back to the website. And last week, my mic kind of cut out it toward the end, but it is, you can hear it. Georgia, she worked magic on it and got it where, you know, you can hear it. So I appreciate that. Still trying to work through some a learning curve on the new system. So, and last week, the battery dying in the headset was the problem. So some things just happen. But I've enjoyed the study. I've enjoyed the series. This will be the last one for now. It's been kind of tough. I'll tell you, it's not the easiest series to preach, but I believe that churches need to stand on what God teaches about love, sex, and marriage. This world would be a lot better place if we would just listen to what God has to say. So if you missed any of that, you can go back and get it on the website. We appreciate the effort to get it there. All right. Now, if you have a pen and paper this morning, you might want to get it out. I'm going to give you a few scriptures that you might want to go back and read. And I'm not going to read them all for lack of time. And you'll see why in just a minute. All right. As I said in the beginning, some of these sermons do overlap. I don't know any way to preach about all this without some of it going back and forth a little bit. So if I say something this morning you've already heard, that's just the only way I know how to get it out. So here we go. Last week, we spent a good deal of time talking about sexual relationships and how God views sex. Okay? I asked if anybody had ever heard that preached from in church. Nobody raised their hand. Shame on us, because God talks a lot about it. So that's what we talked about last week. We talked about Adam and Eve being married in the garden and that being the first marriage. We talked about the fact that God, that to God, man and woman are married when they consummate the marriage, and more details on that in just this subject. But I do have something to say. When you talk about marriage, it's part of the culture that we live in now. And I want you to know right straight up front, I base my opinion about this subject from God's Word, as everyone should. And just a couple of things about it, and then we're going to move on. Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed because of homosexuality. Okay, God abhors homosexuality, and it is a sin. In Leviticus 18 and 22, it says, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination." Now, abomination is a thing that causes disgust or hatred. You can look that up. Homosexuality disgusts God, okay? He hates it. He hates it because it goes against his plan for mankind. All right? Just look at the natural aspect of it. If everyone was a homosexual, there would be no children. And our race would die. No babies, no baby deer, no baby bears, no baby anything. Okay? Nature. God. All right? Get the picture? Now, I'm going to give you a few scriptures. You can go back and read God's Word. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13. Genesis chapter 19, verse 5. Judges chapter 19, verse 22. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 24. And if anybody's thinking that only the Old Testament talks about it, look at Romans chapter 1, verse 26 and 7. 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. 1 Timothy 1 and 10. And the book of Jude 1 and 7. Now, if you're listening to this sermon and don't feel and don't like the fact that I said homosexuality is a sin, you argue with God, not with me. I'm going on what God says. I'm telling you what he said. And you can take that or leave it, and that's between you and God. Okay? Now, one other word on that. So listen closely. If you're living a life of homosexuality, Jesus died on the cross for you just like he did for me.
Amen.
And all you have to do is repent and call upon the name of Jesus and be saved.
Amen.
Okay? And I'm not singling out anyone, okay? Whatever it may be, repent and turn away from it and accept Jesus. Now, listen, it's possible to be living a life that is sexually displeasing to God and be saved. Okay? If you're saved and living a life like that, whatever it may be, you need to get your heart right with God. Repent of that sin. Listen to me very closely. Sex outside of marriage is sin, period. Okay? Now, enough about that. That's a whole sermon. I could get into a whole series on it again, but we're not going to get bogged down. Now, last week we talked about marriage in the eye of God being recognized at the consummation of the marriage. Now, if you don't know what consummate means, look it up. Webster has the word and the definition readily available. Okay? If you don't have a dictionary, holler at me and I'll get you one. All right? Everybody needs a dictionary. Anybody in here don't have a smartphone? Just one or two? Well, you need a paperback. Everybody else can download the app. All right? Okay. I'm not going back there this week. We talked about that last week. Okay. I want you to know, though, that God does not need a marriage license to know who is married and who is not. The first marriage license were issued about 1100 A.D. by the church in England. Marriage licenses were brought to the Americas in the early 1600s. So they have not been forever. God didn't implement the use of a license, a piece of paper, with a note or a signature on it to say that you were married. Early marriage license, actually, you might find this interesting, I do, were actually a sort of a business deal or business transaction. They were seen as contractual and dealt with the transfer of wealth and property more than they did the actual, what we deem as marriage today. Now, it was a way to transfer property that a woman had to the man. boy, that frog. Excuse me. Back then, women couldn't own property. Isn't that something? See how far we've came. Now, if they had a possession of, until they were married, then their husband managed it. Okay, back in the old days, a dowry. Anybody ever heard of a dowry? Okay. A dowry is property or money brought by a bride to her husband on their marriage. So it was a binding contract. In other words, he had control of it. Now, marriages today are a lot different than they were in the Old Testament days. Would you agree with that? Most of those marriages were prearranged. Sometimes I wonder if we wouldn't be better off to go back to that. I like studying history, and I try to read some to understand Jewish customs because I truly believe that if we could understand Jewish customs better, we could understand prophecy better because a lot of the prophecy was based and geared toward things that they understood back then in their customs, okay? So I often talk about Jewish marriages when we near Christmas season because of Joseph and Mary. Now, if you remember, they were espoused. And espoused means that they were engaged, if you will, but it was a legal process that they went through. In those days, it was a legal binding agreement between two families concerning a man and a woman, or a boy and a girl most of the time, okay? they could have been engaged or a spouse for years before they were old enough to marry or to live together. Most of the time, they were even in their teens or maybe even before that when these arrangements were made. The engagement back then could be because of political views and how they wanted their families to unite in various other ways. It could be because of a business arrangement. It wasn't about the feeling of love. We talked about that in previous sermons, okay? It wasn't about the feeling. I don't want you to get me wrong, though. Many of those pre-arranged marriages turned into a very love-centered marriage. Just go back and read. During the engagement, okay? I think that's important, okay? And here's what I want to get from that. I think that no matter where a marriage is or where a marriage starts, if the man and the woman are dedicated to God, put him first and we'll work at it, you can make it work. And it can be good. And if you leave God out of it, no matter where it starts, it can be bad. Okay? All right. During the engagement back then, the man would learn a trade. He would grow up, build a house, and prepare to support his family. He would take, at the marriage ceremony, he would go to her home where she lived with her parents. He would take his friends along with him, and they'd march down the street, and they would get her, and they would have a big party. Now, it lasted for a week or so, this party. Family and friends were there, a lot of food, a lot of drinking, and a lot of other stuff went on. Remember, in John 2, we see Jesus and his mother Mary at one of these events. You can go back and read that. The husband and wife would then consummate the marriage, and it was official in all aspects, legally and morally and spiritually. Okay? God has always meant and still does, he hadn't changed, for this union to be one man, one woman, one lifetime. Okay? I've heard it explained like this, the oneness of God. Listen, one God, one man, one woman, one lifetime, one picture. Okay? Completeness. You see, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is a complete. The marriage, the man, the woman, focused on God, is complete. And when we're a complete unit like that, it gives us a picture of what God really had for us. Now, think outside of what this culture we're living in promotes for just a few minutes. We're going to get back to that in a minute, but think about this. If you remember, we've talked in the past in this series about how different men and women are. We're different, right? I mean, God made us different. Some differences are obvious. Some differences we learn over time, but we are different. We think different. We act different. We look different, thank God. Okay? We focus on different things. Remember I told you that a woman's brain and a man's brain function differently? It's like a big room full of boxes, shelves and shelves and shelves. A woman can have all these boxes out and cluttered all around, and a man deals with one box at a time. Okay? You girls need to learn to let us get our box closed back up, put back on the shelf. Okay? It's different. But here's what I want you to get today. Here's what I need you to get. Together, the man and the woman and their differences, when they come together, it becomes a complete functioning family unit. Children, learn from both. God's plan in action. Children in a home like this don't just get one side of God's plan, they get both sides. They get a well rounded raising. They see the differences in milk, which says there is no difference. Boy, what a mess that is. But unlike that, when a child is raised in a functioning, godly, pictured marriage household, they're well-rounded and they see both sides, okay? They see how men and women interact instead of just getting one perspective. They see how to deal with issues when they occur. We teach them like that. That's a big part of what's the matter with our culture today. It's okay to be whoever you want to be, just whenever you want to be it, and it messes up all of God's plan and all of God's picture. When we live in a culture like we have today, where you can get up this morning and choose what gender you're going to be, it breaks God's picture, and it breaks God's plan. Now, don't kid yourself. Our children are watching and learning from our actions. And we're teaching them, even if we don't think we are. You see, children are like sponges. They absorb whatever they come in contact with. Be careful what you place in their presence. Now, we're living in a world that readily accepts divorce as just normal. Children living in a divorced family get different lessons than children living in a functioning, intact family. Y'all listen to me really close now, okay? Most blended families, and I mean the ones with two dads, two moms, this, that, and other, sometimes more, they see a lot of anger. They see a lot of deceit. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just open your eyes and ears, because the kids play the parents back and forth and the parents play the kids back and forth. Let me tell you what, it causes lots of problems. Lots of problems. And it teaches them things that are not good. And what I mean by that is it teaches them how to play the game, play the system. Okay? God never intended for it to be that way. God has always meant for the family unit to be a man and a woman focused on God and raising their children in a Christian atmosphere focusing on God. And parents, it's about raising our kids to honor God and His will. Now, I know things happen beyond your control. I understand that. And God knows it as well. I know that God will bless a woman and a man who have been divorced and remarry. I know that, and you do as well. Okay? But listen, that is not God's plan. Here's what I think we need to get. Now, I'm afraid that people today are entering into this oneness of life and purpose with a disposable attitude. Okay, if it don't work, we'll just get rid of it. Okay? I talk to a lot of people who are just like that, more than you might know. If it doesn't work, I'll just get a divorce. It's no big deal. Do you remember in one of the sermons we talked about everyone looking for Mr. or Miss Right? Looking for the feeling. And we also talked about that love is an action word and it requires that old four-letter word we hate called work. We have to work at it. At some point, you have to decide that you're going to love who you're with in spite of their faults. Boy, we all have them, don't we? If you don't have any, you're lying to yourself. In a marriage, you should commit one to another no matter what happens. Yes, God did grant through Moses The children of Israel are rid of divorcement. You can see that in Matthew 19. Jesus talks about it. I'm going to read that in 19, verse 8. Jesus said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. God never intended for that. Now, if you go and study that out, I want you to know this, that God wants us to forgive when our spouses mess up and work through it. And when we focus on God, we can. I think that ragweed mowing yesterday really working me over. Marriage is special to God, and I believe that it's a picture of the relationship that if God threw us out every time we messed up. Think about that for a minute. Now, I caused myself a lot of extra work doing premarital counseling, whether you know it or not. Many preachers just will marry whoever comes along, whenever, whatever, however. Okay? I have strong convictions that if we are to marry and do it God's way, then we need to know what God's way is. Okay? Come together and become one. I believe that it's important so that we can come together in an understanding of the importance of marriage to God, this counseling. Now, if you're getting married, do it the right way. Honor God. Follow God's prescribed plan. No testing the water, living together first. I'm just telling you right straight up, don't do it. It's a sin. Okay? If you're not doing it God's way, fix it. Fix it. And if you're not going to fix it, just go to the JP and get married. If you're not going to do it God's way, then just go get married. Okay? But I admonish you to fix it and do it God's way. He'll bless you for it. So if you're living together, separate, do it God's way, get married right. If you're not going to do that, just go to JP and get married. Now, if you love someone and want to spend the rest of your life with them, build your marriage on the rock. Start it off with the proper foundation on Jesus and follow God's plan. Marriage is supposed to be a picture of the relationship Jesus has with his church. Think about that for just a moment. Okay? Remember the Jewish custom? They were espoused or engaged. The man went to prepare a place. Where's Jesus at now? He said, I go to prepare a place so that where I am, there you may be also. Remember? He's coming back, right? We've talked in the past about the bride of Christ. Folks, that's the church. That's the born-again believers, okay? The picture that we get from the Scripture is that Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. Jesus is the example. He won't leave us no matter what we do. He always will forgive us when we repent. So many marriages could be saved if we could just get that repentance part down and the forgiveness. Jesus is the picture, the church, that relationship. He's in it for eternity. You remember your vows whenever you said them? Till death do us part. And that's just the beginning of eternity. God's plan. Listen, I believe wholeheartedly that Jesus is coming back to get his church. One of these days he's coming back. And there's going to be a big marriage feast. The bride of Christ will be presented to him. And we will forever be in his presence. That's another sermon for another day. Earthly marriages should mirror, though, that picture, that dedication, that commitment. Jesus is preparing a place for us to spend eternity with Him. And when we get married, that should be our thought process as well. I take you to be my lawfully wed husband or wife till death do us part. When we say those vows, we need to mean them. You see, God has given us the picture. And if we're going to do it God's way, we need to follow the picture that He gave us. Now, Dappin, I know that God will bless you if you've been divorced before, whatever's happened. You just need to focus on Him and focus on the marriage you're in and make it a godly one, and He'll bless you. If you're not married, listen to me for just a minute. God has special things for you when you follow His plan. There's nothing better than a good godly marriage. But I've seen that there's also nothing worse than the choice is yours. Jesus gives us the choice. God, isn't that the greatest thing? God, one of the greatest things. God gave us His choice. We can choose. But He also gave us the means by which we can choose eternal salvation and eternal rewards. Listen, marriage was instituted by God when He made Eve. From the rib He took from Adam. And when they came together, they became one flesh. God has always meant for that to be the union of marriage. And we need to get back to that picture. Do it right, so God can bless you. Think about the picture of Jesus and the church. I want you to know this morning that Jesus forgives us of all of our sins when we repent and turn away from it. So it don't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter the lifestyle that you're living. You can get it right with God by repenting and turning away from that and focusing on God's will in your life. That's the plan. Focus on God. You know, the Bible tells us one of the greatest commandments, or the greatest commandments, is also have no God greater than me or none before me. It's all about God, the oneness of God. It's God. Marriages are the same. They should focus on God. And when they do that, then they can live a rich, fulfilling life together that's pleasing to God. Wherever you're at, God's in the business of forgiving past sins and transgressions. And maybe you're here this morning and your marriage is perfect, but you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Let me tell you, you need to know Jesus before it's eternally too late. Because one of these days He's coming back in the air and He's going to take those of us who have accepted Him as our Lord and Savior up to meet Him just right after those that went on before us, and we're going to be with Him forever. We're going to get a glorified body. I'm going to get one that don't have this old scratchy voice with Him when He comes. How about you? You getting a new body when Jesus comes? You can. By accepting Him as your Lord and Savior. Listen to me. Some of the stuff that we preached in this series has been tough. It's been hard to preach. It's been hard to hear. I know some of it's hard to practice, and I know that there's a lot of things going on in the world contrary to what we preached. I'm telling you, God's plan, one God, one Savior, one marriage, one lifetime. If you'll do that, everything else we've preached about, sexual things, all that stuff, the love and everything will fall into place if you'll get Jesus first in your life. And then focus your marriage on Him. It's amazing what God can do if we'll just allow Him to. The choice is yours. So this morning, as our song leader and our pianist come, if you would stand with me, please. I want you to ask yourself this simple question. Am I where God wants me to be in my life, in my focus, in my marriage, in my sexual morality, in my salvation experience? And if you can say yes, God bless you. Keep up the good work. And if you can't, you can get it right now. All you have to do, call upon the name of Jesus. Confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you. I have to do it every day, multiple times a day. He will forgive you and make you whole again. Bow with me for a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you at this time, thankful, Lord, for your word that tells us how we should act. Lord, and when we follow your word, we see that you bless our actions and that it's good for us. Lord, I've heard people say, well, I don't want to get saved, or I don't want to do this, I have to give up too much. But Lord, I wish they could just see, just open their minds, open their hearts, so that they could see that you don't tell us anything to do that don't benefit us. Everything in your word that you tell us to do, your commandments, benefit us. Church members, better everything, better citizens, better people. If we can just get past ourselves and focus on you. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen.
Page 39.